Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to HR Latte, your first cup of talent management whipped to perfection. Hey, everybody. Welcome to HR Latte. This is Rayanne Thorne. I'm very excited to continue my series on recruiters or talent management goes tech. It's been an exciting series thus far. We got to speak with Greg Rokas last week, founder, CEO, co-founder and CEO of Green Job Interview. And today we'll be speaking with Janet Dwyer. And I believe her partner, John Harney, will also be on the call. They are the founders of a really interesting product and technology known as Talent Browser. One of the aspects of this particular series is I wanted to talk to individuals who have worked for a lengthy amount of time in recruiting or in talent management, HR, and find out why they made the switch to the dark side. Many practitioners feel that the vendor side of the space is the dark side, but it's also where all the innovation and great new products come from. And so I think it's interesting to consider a practitioner that would make that switch. It's very early on the West Coast, so if I sound like Jessica Rabbit, that's the reason. Additionally, we had some technical issues this morning trying to get on. My music wasn't working, so if we sound a little jumbled, I apologize. So let's get right to it. I believe my guest is on the line. Janet, are you there?
Hi, Rayanne. Yes, good morning.
Good morning, Rayanne. Hey, good morning. John Harney here as well.
Hi, John. Thanks for joining us today, guys. I'm really excited to dive into this topic and ask you guys. Now, I know you were on the show back in December. At that time, we talked about the type of technology we're doing, and we'll get into a little bit of that, but I want to talk about why launch a startup. There are so many different companies out there, and HR technology seems to be a hotbed for startups in particular. And I don't know if it's that we talk about it more than other spaces, other industries, other verticals, or if it just seems exciting to try and change processes that have been done the same way for years and years and years. So let's kick it off by having you guys introduce yourselves and tell us a little bit about Talent Browser.
Okay, thank you. And you sound great, by the way, Rayanne, even though it's early.
Good. Thank you.
You're welcome. So my name's Janet, and as Rayanne said, I'm one of the co-founders of Talent Browser. My background is IT recruiting for Wall Street companies. I started recruiting in 1997 for people in New York City with a combination of IT skills, let's say Java, and derivatives experience. So right away, we were looking for highly specialized candidates with a specific mix of skills and experience that was highly in demand. I recruited from 1997 until actually last year when we launched Talent Browser to the market. We formed our own staffing firm, IntegraTech, in 2003. John coming up from a technical background, and me, again, coming up from recruiting. And we provided recruitment services in New York City to the Fortune 1000, high-tech firms, hedge funds, and the like from 2003 until 2014 when we moved to focus 100% on Talent Browser.
And my background, Rayanne, good morning, everyone. John Harney. My background is I began programming back in the 80s in Ireland in trading rooms. And at that time, you know, there was masses of pricing data out there, and traders were trying to hone in on where the opportunities were in that data. So, you know, eventually there became systems, automated trading systems. But prior to that, there were systems called decision support systems that broke out the data and visually presented it to the trader, and then the trader would make trading decisions. So that was my background. And my first question to Janet when we began recruiting was, well, what are the systems out there that can look at all of the resumes, all of the possible data, and make recommendations which were best?
And there aren't many that really give you a great full view. And so I assume that's how Talent Browser was born.
That's correct.
Absolutely. We looked at what was out there. We did some test cases, and we found that, okay, so I've got, you know, 20 people apply for a job. I do a search, and I find that, you know, based on my search, 12 of those people meet the criteria for the search. And what we found was that the results were not very helpful. They weren't accurate. They just included too many false positives.
Okay. So thus Talent Browser was born, started from this idea of hopefully solving a problem. So when you consider what recruiters need, what problem does Talent Browser solve by providing this unique type of technology? I've read that you are using the term resume analytics. So if you could break that down for us, and then we'll jump into the questions of how it has been with you launching a startup.
Sure. Resume analytics in our world is the quantification numerically of the skills, experience, role, and other attributes of a candidate's resume. We're actually close to going live with profile matching as well, you know, LinkedIn and other profiles, but for now I'll speak about resume analytics. So it's looking at resumes in a talent warehouse, resumes coming in real time, analyzing the resumes in three different criteria. Number one, the language on the resume describing the work experience, the skills, the role. Number two, looking at the candidate resume overall and determining how many years of overall experience the candidate has in the workforce and assigning what we call an E-year to that. And thirdly, identifying what is the candidate's current role based on the current jobs library in the organization that is captured in Talent Browser. Those three criteria, when coupled together, form like a Rubik's Cube for recruiting. And from using this system for 10 years successfully, to recruit for Wall Street, we've learned a lot of tricks of the trade to quickly hone in on the short list of candidates that match using this resume analytics. Identify the role of the candidate, hone in on the right level of experience. We all know as recruiters, if we're looking for a candidate at the more junior level, it doesn't matter what they say on their resume. It matters what their level is. So setting the criteria within the resume analytics, within the filters of the search in Talent Browser to identify the right role, the right level, and then the language on the resume. What do I mean by the language on the resume? I'm talking about using our patented profile matching technology, which is a new form of segmented, multidimensional search that allows the recruiter, the hiring manager, the organization to set the bar in the key criteria that is being looked for so that candidates who actually just have a mention, let's say using a Boolean search, a mention of something, are filtered out.
Okay, wow. This is very, very technical. John, how do you take something that's so technical and make it user-friendly?
there is a parallel in the industry. You can invite a candidate to sit down and perform a self-assessment. Hey, I've got all these skills I'm interested in. Can you rate yourself on each of these skills? How many years experience do you have? And how do you rate yourself from 1 to 5? And the issue with doing that, you know, so it exists and we all know that that's a desirable thing to have. The problem with it is that the people are not willing to sit down and answer a long questionnaire, number
that's
one,
true.
Especially
that's
millennials. True. Millennials, they say, will abandon 90% of the time. Younger people will, people in their 20s, I'm showing my age now, that they will abandon such a test. And number one. Number two, they overrate themselves. Just this week, I talked to an executive who said, yeah, we do self-assessment, but what we get is 5, 5, 5, 5, 5. I'm an expert in everything. And what we've done in Talent Browser is we've tried to go from the unstructured data of the resume and create the equivalent, you know, what are the business and technical skills that exist on this resume, when do they occur, and to what degree do they occur? And it's quite accurate.
And Rayanne, let me just add to that, to simplify, right now we have one of our clients in one of the major investment banks in New York City using Talent Browser, and the feedback from this person who has a heavy IT recruiting background and, again, investment banking is, my goodness, I could teach my 11-year-old to do IT recruiting in 2 days using Talent Browser. Why? Because we've simplified the process. And that's a quote.
Right.
What we've done is we've created a product that helps the organization to create an even playing field and simplify the process of recruiting, because the information that recruiters or hiring managers care about is encapsulated in the software, and everyone is looking at the same view. We've created the ability for companies to have an automated thesaurus that captures their unique nomenclature within the software and can be edited on the fly. So the ever-changing needs of companies and the broadening of the skills that they need as time goes on can be captured within Talent Browser. It is not the case as with some other products out there where semantic search and other search methodologies are hard-coded into the system. Ours is upfront for the user to look at, and that's how we really simplify the process, because they're in control of what they're looking for.
Instantly customizable. That's what I was so impressed with when I saw the product. And are there any competitors out there to what you do?
Well, we don't see any other companies at all that are doing what we're doing in terms of resume analytics, no. When resumes come into Talent Browser for our users, the resumes are automatically stored, parsed, scored, screened, and matched 24/7 against all job openings, unlike applicant tracking systems, which track applicants for jobs. And one of our recent calls with a very large company was quite amazing when I heard that they were receiving over 600 resumes per job, and the process that they were going through using one of the large systems out there to sift through these resumes was just so painful. What we're doing is different. It's unique. We're taking the resume, the raw data on the resume, and storing the information about the resume without the company, the recruiter, doing anything. So, for example, in our staffing firm, Integratech, our database accumulated over 200,000 resumes with a very, very small team of people, because we were following, I was reading this morning some writings by Glenn Cappy, which are just excellent, about just-in-time recruiting, lean recruiting, using the Toyota lean approach for recruiting. That's what we were doing starting in 2003 with Talent Browser. We weren't creating a pipeline of candidates we might use someday. We were honed in with laser-like precision on who do we need now and how can we find them. And along the way, of course, we built relationships with our candidates, but the bottom line is we were looking for candidates for jobs. So there are no other companies that are basically doing this indexing. The 200,000 resumes in Integratech, Rayanne, have approximately 90 million associated numeric scores breaking down skills and experience. We're the only ones doing that.
We see a lot of technology. Particularly this year, there seems to be a big rush to find the ultimate job matching solution. And the difference in what we're doing and what other vendors are doing is other vendors are using semantic search and predictive analytics and various tools for natural language processing. We rejected those tools, and the reason we rejected them was because if I'm searching for, let's say, Bank of America, I really want to see Bank of America in a semantic search. a positive hit would be banking in America, banks of America, of American banking. And in fact, I recently did a search and on a semantic search engine, and one of the results was U.S. banks. And, you know, that's the problem. You know, semantic search gives you a lot of false positives, so it's inaccurate. The second part about it is that when you look in Talent Browser at a resume, the phrases in the resume that caused it to be escalated are highlighted in the resume, whereas in the semantic search tools, they don't do that. They hide the results from you. You don't know why a particular resume is chosen. And, of course, the big problem with semantic search is that it's hard-coded. It's language-specific. It's hard-coded at the time it's created. So if new technical terms comes out, well, your system doesn't handle those. If Oracle brings out, you know, a new version of their software, you can say, okay, now I want to create a search just for that version.
Right. So what you're doing is really important and has great value. And not everybody that's sitting at their desk doing their job automatically thinks, I'm going to share this with the world. This is a type of technology, Janet and John, that you have been using since 2003. So when, just for your own benefit, so what happened that made you think we should take this to the world? We should launch a company that does this instead of spending our time recruiting, which I know you still do a little bit of, and that you're helping recruiters as well by teaching them how to use Talent Browser. What was the shift that caused you to say, let's launch a company?
Well, I'll tell you, I guess what happened is we started using Talent Browser, the first version in 2003 in IntegraTech, and continued to improve it, enhance it, and automate. And we started getting such amazing results against the large national vendors who were on the vendor lists for these, you know, Wall Street companies, the giants right. in financial services. And we, of course, as an account manager and a recruiter, hands-on recruiter both, I got to know my clients, the VP, the MD-level people within these organizations, got to know them and love them and talk with them. And hearing the pain that they experienced in doing their jobs compared to the fun and the successes that we were having with a very small team made us discuss the possibility that we had come up with, you know, to use a cliche, a bit of a better mousetrap. And so we talked to them. We showed these seasoned people what we were doing and how we were doing it, because we contemplated filing for patents in the U.S. For our methodology. And they said, go for it. Yes, it's great. So we made that decision because we truly felt that we had created something that is unique, that's highly needed, and that is really, really helpful for people who are trying to do the job of recruiting. And we felt that we wanted to share it with the world.
All right, awesome. So Talent Browser stands, it's being continually updated, and the users that you have now are benefiting from that. When somebody reviews a product, and not just Talent Browser, but any product, because you're coming at this, Janet and John, as practitioners. You have been practitioners. You have worked like your potential clients have worked. You've done that work. You've scoured over resumes. You've looked for the right kind of skills and experience on a resume. When somebody is looking for a product like Talent Browser, and they want to buy a product like Talent Browser, they want to start using it, what is the most important thing that they should remember when doing research for a new technology?
I think what's important to think about is do the founders of the new technology understand your pain? Do they understand really what you're doing? Do they solve problems that you experience? Are they the right mix of business, domain, experience and knowledge and technology? Are they in the real world?
I would say that out of the gate, of course, as a technical person, I would probably say this, but I would say, first of all, you want to understand, is the system accurate? To do that, I would take, let's say, 10 resumes or 10 profiles of 10 people I'm familiar with, and then pass them through the system and see if the system faithfully represents the skills and experience of these resumes that I already know. I would say that's probably the primary thing to do.
And those are such key things. Do they understand your pain? And is what the technology they created, does it work? I mean, it seems so simplistic, but sometimes users or recruiters or hiring managers or talent management professionals get caught up in the pretty and caught up in the relationship, which we know that sales is all about relationships, that we forget to really look at it. Is it solving a problem? And there it is. Do they understand your pain, and does it work? So, I mean, that's all lumped into, is it solving a problem? So when you guys decided to do this, it had to have been a big shift of thinking. First of all, you've been a successful recruiting firm for years, right? So all of a sudden it's like, okay, should we stop making money to launch a tech company, right? It's a big change in thinking and change in lifestyle, I assume. I assume that there were cutbacks made, that there were people that you let go because you had to focus on really getting ready to launch a company. So when you look at what you've gone through thus far and the successes that you're starting to see, the great conversations that you're starting to have, you're still, even though you've been working on this for a long time, you officially launched just last fall, and you're starting to have the right kind of conversations with the right kind of companies now. Do you have any advice for individuals that maybe have a great idea themselves that are looking at potentially launching a tech company? Anything that they should know before they do it?
I would say make sure you have a thick skin. make sure you can be a lean startup, that you are agile, that you're able to keep your overhead low as you pivot to this new business, and be ready to work very, very hard, but smart. And I think that having a true belief in the viability and the quality of the product that you are bringing to the market is key. And then it's basically rolling up the sleeves and doing the work. Yes, it is challenging to move from our comfort zones, but that's what life's about sometimes.
I would say, when we discovered this methodology in the beginning, I had worked in a software company. In fact, I came to the U.S. As part of a successful software startup back in Ireland. And when we discovered it in the beginning, back in 2003, Janet was saying, why don't we spin it off? Why don't we spin it off as a company? And I felt, it doesn't make sense if you say, yeah, I have a recruiting company and I have a piece of software and I'm going to sell you the software. Well, how good is the software then if you're not willing to, go out, use it, and run your own company with it? So that's probably the main reason we didn't go to market early. We filed for the patents and we just used it. And we had the pleasure of watching our competitors come to us and say, how do you guys do what you do? Because we know you're a small company, and yet you're able to find all of these great candidates for these very complex roles, and you're having great success. How are you doing it? So I would have to say that the product we would have released in 2004 is not the product that we have today. We developed it a lot. You can create a great widget that solves a part of the problem, but if you have a bottleneck and you create a mile of highway, all you've done is move the bottleneck 1 mile down the road. You need to understand, hey, we're developing this great process. Now what does that do to the overall recruitment process? So not only do we have this piece of technology, but that piece of technology represents an overall recruiting approach that is more efficient than the post and pray method. I forget what else I was going to say.
Pray and turn.
That's okay. So last night, just I want to spin this question a little bit. Last night I was at Downtown Disney, which is a large shopping district, very successful large shopping district right outside of Disneyland in Anaheim. I was part of a group of water. Interestingly enough, the water industry professionals had one of the largest conferences they have every year, and so I was part of this celebration following the first day of the conference. And as I walked around this shopping district, there were so many talented people. There were people performing, you know, doing stand-up comedy. There were bands. There was a mariachi band. There was this really great pop band. There was a band doing all their own original. So I saw different types of talent going on. And there's so many talented people in the world, and yet very few people become superstars. When you consider that the people that I heard singing last night were every bit as good as the people that we know that we hear on the radio every day, right? They were just very super talented, but they hadn't crossed that line to super, super successful, super famous. So why do you believe companies succeed? So IntegraTech obviously had this really great technology behind them that made them a very successful recruiting firm. What is it going to take for Talent Browser to do that? How are you going to succeed? How are you going to keep from being the group that doesn't quite make it? What do you need to do for success?
Well, I think, John, you'll talk about what you were going to reply. What I'll say, Rayanne, based on, you know, your question and your experience last night, I think that what is very important for our success is the excellent relationships we have today and have built over the last many years with companies, with recruiters, with hiring managers, with people like you, thought leaders in HR tech more recently. These relationships and the attention that is coming to Talent Browser as a result of these relationships is what's going to be our success. We recently partnered with a management consulting firm where the CEO and senior members are former Big Four management consulting partners. And we're partnering with them as our integration team, strategic integrator, really, to implement Talent Browser in larger organizations. So we have what we have, and we know what we know, but we're relying on partners and contacts and relationships of people who have more experience in ways that we need to help us bring Talent Browser to success in the market.
The parallel I would draw, Rayanne, for the example you gave, well, you know, it's easy to get a guitar and go out and stand in a mall and sing a song. In the case of software, probably the biggest pitfall is that you have to do all of the work up front before you install your first customer. You've got to spend years in development. You've got to improve it. You've got to write excellent help, have a website, understand where it fits in the market, make a lot of mistakes, throw a lot of stuff in the bin, and get it to the point where it's, for want of a better term, idiot-proof, because you become an expert yourself in what you're doing, but then in explaining it to other people, a lot of the time, it's hard to simplify it enough for a novice, for a new person to understand. And because what we're doing is very innovative, the problem we have is that we talk to people about it and then we realize they don't really get what we're saying because they've never seen anything like that before. So that's a barrier. Like my experience in the financial industry was that if you said to a trader, I have a new piece of technology that nobody else is using, they would want to have it. Whereas if you say that to a HR person, that's a big turnoff.
But the great thing is, they are scared. But when we speak to recruiters who are really doing the job, or hiring managers, or HR people who are in the trenches doing the job, and when they see what Talent Browser does and how it does it and how it allows them to save time, take away the pain of the mundane parts of manually filtering resumes in 2015 to me is just a mind blower, to tell you the truth, Rayanne. I don't understand the concept, because we've just been doing it so differently for so long. So
right.
It's very exciting to me to work with people who are seeing the benefit of what we do, who are seeing the what it feels like to be able to really drill down on hundreds of thousands of resumes efficiently, quickly, and find the nuggets within your previously sourced candidates. It's gratifying and it's exciting. So we're spreading the word, and thanks for letting us chat about it today. And we're
Absolutely.
Really seeing some enthusiasm out there, so we're excited. Good stuff.
Yeah, as per usual, the show goes way too fast. So I want to shift gears so we can get as much in as possible. I want to talk about you two personally now. You two, your personal professional approach to business. When you consider, and I think this is one of the greatest questions I can ask any of my guests, because I think it's a way for us to learn how other people achieve success. When you consider your own future as a business professional, right? Let's set aside whether you're a recruiter or you're a technologist or you're a business startup. As a business professional, in providing services to a company or a client, what are the key things, if you have three key things that you can share that you do in order to do your job more effectively, more efficiently, and please your client or your customers?
Well, you're saying putting aside our recruiting and our tech heads, just generically speaking.
Yep.
So,
as a business professional.
Listen to the customer, hear the customer, pay attention to what they need, help the customer, educate the customer, partner with the customer, and provide value so that you can grow organically with a satisfied base of people who are benefiting from what you're doing.
The 1, 2, 3 I was going to say.
Go ahead, John.
The 1, 2, 3 I was going to say was, help, number one, help people understand the value of the 85% of applicants who don't meet the job criteria. Those applicants should not go in the bin. They should be part of a growing talent warehouse, number one. Like, I'm surprised at companies that we go to that don't have a strategy for trapping every resume that comes across their desk. Like, they need to go somewhere, because that's really the growing value of your HR, it's particularly if you're a staffing agency.
John, before you go on, where those resumes go, if do you remember the end of the first Indiana Jones film? Right, when
yes.
they take the Ark of the Covenant and they put it in this ginormous warehouse, that's where those resumes go. And no one
Black
knows
hole.
What's in them. Nobody knows yep. where how to access them again. No one will. It's never to be found again. You're right. Number
yeah.
two now.
We from a bank here in the city, we went into a demo one day and they told us, yeah, we have a disk here with 3 million resumes on it, but we don't know how to access, we can't find, they're of no use to us.
Oh, my goodness.
So that's the number one, the importance of building a talent warehouse that you have some way of diving into it and finding the nugget that matches the
right.
job that you just got, number one. Number two, what we do with people is we review the types of jobs that they recruit for. It's great having a tool, but the greatest tools require some form of tuning for the situation that they're in order to get the best value from them. So we spend some time doing that. And the third thing we do is our system is very comprehensive. There's a lot of bells and whistles. So we need to spend time with the client understanding what they're going to, what is the 20% of functionality you're going to use 80% of the time, and then go through that in detail with them so that they, on day one, they're able to use the system productively.
Perfect. So as we wrap up, the show always goes way too fast for me. Any last mm-hmm. words of wisdom from each of you? And then we'll do the quick hit faves. I know we asked you those in December, but if there's anything new to add to your list, your quick hit fave list, then we'll discover those too. Any last words of wisdom to somebody that's maybe looking to launch a tech company or somebody that's looking to buy a new technology?
Be open-minded. Don't be limited by what's been before. New things are happening around you all the time.
I would say beware of companies that tell you that they had scientists working in a lab looking through tens of thousands of resumes in order to create the perfect search. If you believe that, then I got a bridge I can sell you.
Yeah.
Wait a minute, John. You're not sitting in a lab with a microscope and a white lab coat. That's not what you're doing.
I've got one of those bands around my head with the big shiny disc on it.
We think recruiters are smart. We think recruiters are smart.
Right.
Hiring managers know what they need. Companies can capture their needs within their own software and set their own destiny. That's the way I see it.
I love that. Set your own destiny. Okay. So quick hit faves. Favorite food?
Pasta.
Pasta, of course.
I guess I'm
and
pasta too
pasta
because
I've ever had. It was with you guys.
John is
best
the chef.
Pasta. Best pasta ever. She is wonderful.
I enjoy cooking,
John?
So.
Yeah.
I love whatever Jan cooks.
There you go. That's a good partner. your favorite book?
I guess for me, it's my Marcella Hazan classics, which is a cookbook, but it's one that I read and refer to all the time.
I have to admit, I haven't read a book in many years because I'm just reading technical documentation and reading trade mags eats up all my time.
So what's your favorite trade magazine? That's interesting.
What I mean is technical books.
Yeah,
so, well,
you don't want
to share. This morning I was online reading all about Glenn Cathy and the Boolean black belt.
There you go. Well, that guy is an expert. We love Glenn in the HR technology space. He's been advising and popping new ideas in people for years. When I first worked at Broadbean, he was one of the resources that we went to and referred to often when we talked about search. So favorite place in the world?
I would say it would be home first for me, and then I like being on the beach in the Caribbean, hanging out with not a cookbook but a novel.
I'd have
John?
To say my favorite place is we have a local yacht club that we go to in the summer, and there's a band called Acoustic Funk, two guys with guitars that play live music on a Friday after work, and that's my favorite place in the world.
We're the only two that get up and dance, but we don't mind.
You don't mind, no, and I'm sure that's a great deal of fun. We have something similar here local to us. There's a local guitarist that plays. He actually played at my wedding last week, and we just love going and having a glass of wine and just listening to just the great music. I mean, there's something about the music being played live in front of you, right?
There surely is, but I have to add, Rayanne, as you know, because you do know John Harney, John plays the guitar and sings. He's singing lessons, and so I get private concerts. So
there's
nothing like it.
By the way, Rayanne, we're delighted to join you on your honeymoon. By the way.
Yeah, I don't think you're invited, John. Sorry.
Well, I mean, if you only got married last week, this must be your honeymoon.
She's going to
Hawaii. We're actually going to Molokai at the end of July, so the honeymoon is coming, and there will be pictures, so many people will be joining us in that way. And your favorite thing to do, I don't know, was that your favorite thing to do as well, go listen to music and hang out with each other?
Absolutely.
And dance, yep.
And the other thing we decided after we got married, we said, let's never come back from the honeymoon, so I can recommend that.
That's very, very, very good advice. I am been so such a pleasure to have you on the show again, and thank you guys. I know that your words your wisdom, your experience will help other people that are looking either to make a decision about software or about whether or not to launch a company. I think that what you shared today is so valuable, right? Are you solving a problem? Or do you know the problem that you're solving? Are you addressing the pain of the person that you're trying to help? And it makes such a difference in the lives of recruiters and in HR professionals everywhere. So I want to thank you for continuing your efforts and for being my guest today here on HR Latte.
Thank you. And I want to say thank you for all the good work that you do, Rayanne, on your show. It's excellent.
It's my pleasure. Thanks again, guys. Please tune
bye-bye.
In on Thursday. Bye. Thank you. Please tune in on Thursday when we'll be talking with Phil Hendrickson, who has been a very experienced, outspoken recruiter. If you've never heard him speak, please join me on the show on Thursday. We'll be talking about making the shift. Phil has made the shift from the recruiter, the practitioner side of the business to the vendor side. He recently joined a company, a new tech startup called Qualify. He's going to fill us in on what Qualify is doing and also why it's important for practitioners to be part of technology. So thanks for joining us today. It has been a pleasure as always. We'll be back with HR Latte next time.